Bill, you saved the day.
Eddie Izzard was walking in front of the studio moments ago, seemed lost. I hope I helped you, Eddie.
Lost is not the word. I was investigating.
Were you investigating?
You see, there's a difference between lost and investigating. Otherwise, any Sherlock Holmes, you say, these guys are just lost. No, they're investigating.
That's so true. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good at my own PR, as you can see.
Yes.
I go from a lost person to an investigator. But I actually walked past and I said, I remember your front entrance to this wonderful building that's been given away to people. So you lose.
Not given away, but sold for a very high price.
Well, the character I just played in Victoria and Abdul, as you is pronounced in America, we find this funny because it's Victoria and Abdul. But, you know, Abdul, we kind of like that. But it's doing really well. Judy Dench playing that. But there was a point. What the point was I making? Oh, yes, my character, Bertie, who became Edward the Seventh, he gave away this big house, Osborne House, which is in the film. And Americans can go and visit this place because it's a palace. It's like a British English palace that was given away, so it was locked in Aspic in a way, because once that everyone went, it was given to the country and just left there, and so all the stuff is there: Queen Victoria's desk, her husband's desk, Prince Albert, the bed where she died in, and we did scenes in Victoria and Abdul that and there's arguments and fights and depression and all that stuff happened. Probably the very close to the real arguments, right in the same place where they actually happened. Yeah, which is very rare that happens. Normally, you just build a new one and you have to imagine it, but we were doing it.
Never been able to ask anyone this question, but I've always wanted to ask Judy Dench.
Mm.
I mean, Dame Judy Dench.
Well, I know you very nicely put the dame on, but she's very much not that. We just went, was it last weekend? I was back in Osborne House because the friends of Osborne House had a dinner, and Judy was invited along as a patron, and she said, do you want to come along? So I sort of cuckooed my way into this.
Yeah.
And the people said, they were saying, do we bow? Do you? Do we curtsy? Do we this? And she said, no, just call me Judy. And she's very real. I think that's what comes through this. If you watch the film, you'll see Queen Victoria and you'll see a human being inside Queen Victoria, as opposed to this distant monarchy.
Yes.
You know, anyone who gets certain positions, if they're hereditary positions or even elected positions, there can be a certain distance. Some people get through that. Mm-hmm. Usually democratic people have much more of a connection and then the others have more of a distance. Reagan, I suppose he was quite good at being charming. Charming and chatty Cathy.
Yeah. You've seen the video of her rapping though, right?
Sorry?
A video came out of Judy Dench about two or 3 weeks ago and she's rapping.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't expect that of her.
Well, that's because she is really a teenage girl who's just got older. You know, I danced to Ray Charles track What I Say.
Yes.
What apostrophe D did I say? I'd been through the makeup thing. I'd stopped being Bertie and I was just playing this and dancing to it. And then she started dancing as well. And I thought, I'm dancing with a teenage girl here. She's very young at heart and she likes life. And she is now in her early 80s, but she doesn't care. She's going to live life to the full.
Good
for her. That's what you're supposed to do. Yep. Age is just something on your driver's license or your birth certificate.
Well, exactly. How old are you in your head? That's the important thing. And I've always stayed 22 in there.
Always. Yeah.
You look sensational.
Thank you.
I look so good.
I went to the sensational clinic just before I came in. So I got up and I looked like hell. But
eyelash extensions or what kind of mascara? Because I need tips.
No, they're called wispies. My eyelashes are false. My marathons are real.
You'll notice that Wendy's writing down the word
wispies. Wispies.
Ardell make
these
good.
Oh, yeah. And they're not expensive.
Wispies. They're good because they're kind of dramatic, but they're different lengths. They actually have half length and full length. This is full wispies. But they... they actually just make your eyelashes kick and look kind of dramatic, but also look kind of real at the same time, which is kind of
really
odd.
Good.
And I've been through a few of them.
Wispy sounds like a British snack you'd have after school, doesn't it?
It is also a British snack that you have after school. It says, buy this British snack and get your eyelashes slightly extended at the same time. Don't get those mixed up. Children of Britain, wear this chocolate on your eyes eat this furry thing.
It's so important, Eddie, that we get this information out. Mm. The Believe Me book tour is in Chicago at the Anthoneum Theater. Tickets are online at your website, eddieizzard.com/shows. We want people to come out and see you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great show last night. I'm on again tonight, and then Milwaukee, and then the world.
How long is this tour? How long have you been doing this?
I've only been on for about a week or so, because the book came out... I'm now an age where I can bring out an autobiography. My first autobiography out of the two that I plan to do. There's one going to be later on in 50 years' time. And so, yeah, this takes us up to now. You know, I'm playing in 45 countries now in four yeah. different languages. In stand-up, I'm doing dramatic acting in Stephen Frears' film with Judi Dench. So that's these parallel careers are going nicely. I'm running marathons. South Africa was last year, 27 marathons, amazing. 27 days. I'm going to do an Al Franken in politics and go into politics in after 2020.
Politics here or in England?
In the United Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah.
And
what office will you be seeking?
You just run for the equivalent of a senator or a congressperson. That's what you run for. So I'll be running for a member of parliament. Oh. It depends which constituency will have me, who decides to resign or retire or whatever from the thing. You can't tell what seats are going to be coming up. But I've run nearly everywhere in Britain. I've played nearly everywhere in Britain. Yeah. So
you want to get into politics. We talk about it often. Like, why would someone want that job?
Well, it's because I think the moderates of the world, we've got to get more active and get more into politics. It's a bruising place to be in. But I'm designed for, you know, I came out as transgender 32 years ago. So there's nothing people can say to me that's not as bad as what people said to me in the streets for wearing a little bit of lipstick. And and wearing it well as well, the right eyelashes. And so people have said horrible things, and they say less and less horrible things these days because I fight them in the streets or whatever, you know.
But don't you think we've come? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we've stepped backwards in things. But I know that our kids go to school with people who are transgender, and to them, it's just like, here's a kid I go to school with. Yeah. There's no
It's way better than it was. If you ever get depressed, just draw a line of human rights from ancient Egyptians to now. We're getting there. We're a few steps forward, some steps backwards, but it's way better than it was back in 85 when I came out. And I'm very happy about that. That is a great thing.
Is acceptance in Great Britain about on par with what it is in the United States? It is.
I mean, you had the Caitlyn Jenner situation got a lot of press, and you had the series Transparent come out. So it's almost like America became at the forefront of transgender politics. And I'm just saw some people in middle America going, what the hell are we doing in the forefront of transgender politics? I'm just eating my grits here. So, but it suddenly you leapt into this place where, and then there's been things in the military, and Trump has said, you know, he's trying to repeal on things. But, you know, we had Margaret Thatcher. She brought in Clause 28. That was very anti-LGBT legislation back in the 80s, and then that was repealed, and we move on and forwards. And there's progressives, and there's regressives.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then more with Eddie Izzard. Go see him tonight. It's his tour, the Believe Me Book Tour. It's at the Anthonaeum Theater. His website, eddieizzard.com/shows, has all the ticket information for you. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Laffin, it's Wendy Snyder, along with Eddie Izzard. The great Eddie Izzard is here. His tour, the Believe Me Book Tour, is in Chicago tonight at the Anthonaeum Theater. Tickets are online at eddieizzard.com/shows. Let me pay you a quick compliment, Eddie. I did stand-up comedy for 10 years, and when I was done doing stand-up, the last thing I wanted to do was go see more stand-up comedy.
Right.
You were at the Royal St. George Theater years ago, and a friend and I went to go see you. I needed to go see you, and it was one of the most enjoyable evenings of theater I've ever had.
Oh, great.
Funny start to finish, insightful, everything you'd want it to be and more.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, I was, you know... influenced by Richard Pryor was one of my big influences. American stand-up, Steve Martin's stand-up, very crazy off-the-wall stand-up. I think Ernie Kovacs would have influenced me if I'd seen him. Because I've heard about him in retrospect. Mm-hmm. And Lenny Bruce, I played Lenny Bruce on stage in London.
For the show Lenny?
For the show Lenny, absolutely. The film is based upon the play.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is we knew that Lenny Bruce was really the beginning of alternative stand-up, beginning of off the wall, more less about, you know, my wife, all these kind of standard jokes into, and kind of racist, sexist jokes, into much more interesting examinations of life and comedy philosophers. You know? That's what Lenny Bruce became. But we couldn't access Lenny stuff a lot because he was talking about Sophie Tucker, early band leaders and stuff, you know, punchlines about Nixon when he was vice president. And you really had to know you're Americana well. I knew it quite well, but I didn't know who Sophie Tucker was. And if that's the punchline, you just go, I don't know what she did.
You know what else is sad is most of the footage of Lenny Bruce is later Lenny Bruce when he was already kind of having squabbles with the law. And he's not really funny. He's just explaining his peril. But the earlier stuff, when you can find
when he's in the strip clubs, essentially, and he's playing to the band members and trying to make them laugh, that's fascinating. That is a cutting-edge bit, which I sort of recreated, because we had a live jazz band on stage. So Peter Hall was directing, and we put a live jazz band, and I was trying to make them laugh, because I'd change it every night, and I could hear them laughing. So I thought, wow, that's a parallel with Lenny. And then his very early stuff was very mainstream. He was doing stuff that was really kind of COD stuff, kind of, you know, stuff that he obviously looked at, why am I doing this? And in the film, there's a whole thing where he leaves the famous Borscht belt. What is the Borscht belt? Yeah. The equivalent of that.
New York.
Yeah, and he said, I'm not coming back. So. Catskills, yes, and all that kind of place where you had to play mainstream and no one was laughing, and he was doing mainstream jokes and they weren't laughing at his mainstream jokes. So he thought, forget all this.
Yeah.
I'm going to work in the strip clubs, which was great, an accidental reinvention. And then all the college kids came and said, this is funny stuff. And then they pulled him onto college circuit and then it took off.
Yeah. Yep.
You mentioned marathons. The big Chicago Marathon is this weekend.
Yes.
You running in it? No, you're busy.
I'm afraid I'm not, because I'm touring. But I haven't actually, to be honest, run in any organized marathon, anything. And it's slightly... I do this weird thing. Because I ran 27 marathons in 27 days last year, salute to Nelson Mandela, in South Africa. And I went to hospital on day 5, so I did a double marathon on the last day. So I have this odd way of doing marathons, where I just sort of measure them and do them. And I put a historical... I put a political... undertow to them, like this one, a salute to Nelson Mandela and all the people fighting apartheid, 27 years in prison. And I started where Nelson Mandela was born, and I ended up where in Pretoria, where he was made president. Yeah. And I ran around Robben Island. They let me into his cell. I was allowed to lie there. And I was running to a lot of the prisons where he was ended up. So it had this political message underneath it, and raising money as well at the same time. So that was great. But I say good luck to all the people in the Chicago Marathon, very famous marathon. I know you had a hell of a time a few marathons ago, but it's great that it's ongoing, and hopefully you get stronger and stronger. And people doing it, there's such supportive audiences, supporters along the side of the roads. But I've never actually done one. I've done two triathlons where I've had people there.
Yeah,
but in Britain, because they know that I do marathons, they say, here's the marathon guy, go faster. And I and I don't have faster in me. I do this weird holistic thing. When I run, I just running and no one's expecting it, and I stop and I talk to people, stop to cats and dogs, and I tweet, take photographs, and I read about history. The history of this place is that it was built, and I've run along a Roman road, and I was looking at the history of, you know, back in Britain, the Roman roads are there, and you say, this was a Roman road, and you go, wow, so the Romans came along here. And that's
a cool way of doing
it. Yeah, it's more holistic marathons, I call them. Feral marathons, much more wild and free, and there's no one cheering you on, and just cows looking at you going, what are you doing? And I'm saying, oh, what are you doing, Mr. Cow? And he says, well, I'm a cow, and I'm just hanging out.
I want to ask you the most obscure question anyone's ever asked you. I don't know why I need to know the answer to this, but I do. Last year, you were in the Lego Batman movie.
Yes.
Playing the role of Voldemort.
Yep.
Ralph Fiennes did it in the movie. He's also in the Lego Batman movie, but he's not playing Voldemort. He's playing Alfred the Butler.
Yeah.
How come and why?
I think he got offered that first, and he probably wouldn't have played Voldemort. I was offered it, so I tried to channel Ralph Fiennes as I was playing the Voldemort in the Lego Batman. So that's how it happened. He was cast that, and he probably wouldn't have gone to do a Voldemort Lego Voldemort having done the actual guy.
Yeah, right.
So that was fun, and I did this piece of Darth Vader going down to the Death Star canteen.
It's the funniest thing in the world.
And ordering penne alla arrabbiata, or trying to, and people in the queue just saying, no, you can't. And that was turned into Lego by some kid, Thorn 2200.
So,
So that's funny. That happened years ago, and now the Lego movies are huge. So that it's an interesting thing. I don't think it's because of it, but obviously I think the Lego people, because the Lego people apparently, you know this? They used to clamp down on people using Lego. You can't do this. You can't make different machines with Lego. Don't do that. And then Lego was not doing so well as a company, and then somebody said, hey, why don't we not clamp down on these people? Why don't we embrace them and let them? And they did it, and they turned it all the way around, and now it's come back fighting force, and you've got little Lego figures, and now the film are huge, so they're doing good.
It ended up okay.
You still build Legos, don't you?
Yeah, I still do.
Yeah.
I love them. It's the most relaxing thing in the world.
I would. And it's interesting that you have the S on it in America. You call it Legos, and we call it Lego.
Just Lego.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's
really
odd. It's a bit like maths and math.
Yeah.
We have it the other way around. You say you do the math, and we say you do the maths, and we put an S on it. And we've now started adopting your saying. You do the math. that happens now in Britain.
No more
in advert, but no, but we put the S on it.
Oh, you do.
So you do the maths.
That sounds so weird to me.
The one that I always like is you're in hospital in England. You're in hospital.
Right.
Here, you're in the hospital, or you're on holiday. Here we say you're on a holiday. We're on a vacation.
Yeah, you say vacation more than that.
Yeah.
That Mayflower, they were coming. we're going to change the way we sound. We're just going to make it more twangy. We're going to say in the hospital.
All this was on the Mayflower.
We're
going to
say no S on math. That was Mayflower. Daughters of the Revolution. I don't know. So yeah, first adopters. And we'll get to Plymouth. We'll name it exactly the same name as the town that we left because we had our imagination. We've used all our imagination in putting these clothes on.
Well, give us a call when you make it to Parliament. That is really cool thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I like the idea of that, but I don't quite know if I'm going to be doing. I'm calling everyone in the world. I've made it to Parliament. Yes, I appreciate the sentiment of it. So, but Al Franken has shown, because he went from a majority of 312, ladies and gentlemen, 312 votes, and then there was a court case and thing that went on and on. So he got in with 312, and in his last election, he got a majority of 203,000.
Wow.
So that is a 650% increase, ladies and gentlemen. So that just shows what comedy people can do.
Absolutely.
We all need to laugh more. That's for darn tootin'.
Eddie,
you say that in England, for darn tootin'?
We always say that. It's actually compulsory to say that.
You must say
good
that.
Good afternoon, for darn tootin'. Do you have any soup, for darn tootin'? We don't say it. It doesn't mean anything to us, but we just say it, for darn tootin'.
It's just fun to say.
It's a hill of beans. We could just walk around saying that.
Thank you so much. Great to see you.
It's Eddie Izzard, everybody. Believe Me book tour takes place tonight at the Athenaeum Theater. Tickets online at Eddie's website, eddieizzard.com/shows. Best of luck to you, Eddie.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.